This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Aidan O'Brien, I'm having my dinner. You're having your breakfast. How are all your horses settling in Delmar?
Good, Johnny. You all fine. They did their second canter on the track this morning and everybody seems happy.
What's the weather like over there?
Good. It's kind of 17, 80 degrees, but it's overcast and there's not much sun. But it's I suppose it's perfect temperature for us, really.
Just the track itself, we spoke about this. How tricky is this track for horses coming over from Europe, especially if you're drawn high?
Yeah, I think it's very challenging. Brian was saying to me today, if you're drawn high, it's a big disadvantage. I think if you're drawn 1, 2, 3, 4, like, it's a big advantage, you know. So it's by far the sharpest track in America, really.
And for you, is it a bit of downtime when you get over there to get away from all the kind of the Irish stuff, or is it are you kind of constantly looking at the horse when you're over there as well? Or can you relax for a bit?
Yeah, no, I know. Sure, listen, we go to the track in the morning, and then we'd usually come back to the hotel and have our breakfast, and then if whatever we do, then we do for a few hours, and then we'd usually go back to the track at maybe 3 o'clock again, and do evening stable. So it's I suppose you need the time here with people. You need to talk to the other trainers and jockeys and everyone, like what's the what's going to happen in the races and what the opposition is and all that kind of stuff, really. So you probably need the time, really, to give it every chance you have, if you know what I mean, Johnny.
It must be great as well to be able to see the likes of Aidan McGuinness, Paddy Toomey, so on, with horses over there this year.
Oh, no, it's great. And, like, we've a lot of European runners, and like what you say, it's great to see the boys here. They're see them there in the morning, and I know it's great that everyone is competing, really.
And just briefly, when St. Nicholas Abbey won under Joseph, like, how was that in terms of your career highlights as a dad as well?
I know, that was very really. Joseph was obviously very young at the time, and listen, he was a great horse, and he gave him a great ride. He was a horse that you had to kind of take your time a little bit on him, and that's the way he was by far the best ridden. But when you're doing that, and especially on these tracks, like it can get a little bit tricky, really.
So just very briefly, go through your runners. Glowntown, obviously, he's progressed quickly. Won well at Leopardstown last time. He's drawn an 8, which could be better, could be worse.
Yeah, Johnny, probably not an awful lot of experience, and he's a big relaxed horse. So, but he's in good form. We always thought he would get the trip well, and the ground and all that would suit him. So hopefully he'd jump and go forward, get a nice slot, and doesn't do much when he gets to the front. But no, you'd look forward to him.
Love is a fascinating runner. I think maybe some people say she hasn't run to her same form as a 3-year-old, as a 4-year-old. But do you think she's peaking coming to this time of year?
She won first time out. She won the Wales, and then she had a few runs you'd say mightn't be right up to her top rating or next few times, but the pace wasn't very fast in either of them. But then she had a nice run back at the Curra, her last run. She gave a good bit of weight to a good filly and still ran very well. So she's in good form. You'd imagine that she would like this kind of a surface, and the racing here should suit her. So we've never, obviously, this is her first time out here, but we think it could suit her.
And you can imagine she could maybe go forward from gate 6 as well.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, and she's very happy to be forward and do her own thing if somebody else is not going.
Mother Earth hasn't had an awful lot of luck at times this year, but she appeals as a horse who'll take this challenge in her stride, maybe.
Yeah, she's a pacey filly. She looks like she's definitely progressing still. She had a great run the last day. She hasn't got, listen, she's probably drawn a little bit higher than ideal, but no, she's in good form, and like it's definitely a race that could suit her.
Finally, then, in the big one, so you have Broom, Japan, and interesting enough, two reserves. It's almost like Dundalk here in Bolshoi Valley and Mogul. Bolshoi Valley knows the place well, but you'll have two runners at least anyway.
Yeah, hopefully, Johnny. Bolshoi and Mogul are reserves. This time last year, Order of Australia, Nupi Fernandez were second and third reserves, and they ended up getting in. So we see, but they're in good form. Bolshoi has had experience out here. Mogul has had a break in the middle of the season, and I suppose Japan has had his last two runs out here. He just didn't have much luck in either of the runs, but he's in good form. And denture. Broome ran in the arc and he jumped well, but they went a little bit slow, probably didn't suit him. So no, but they all seem in good form.
So the first team is ready and the subs are ready as well.
Yes, exactly.
Just finally, last question, I promise, can't ask you about Luxembourg. I think in general, the concept of the race was that he didn't have an ideal trip. He was kind of out in his own, in the middle of the track, showed a lot of class. You must have been delighted with him, and I'm sure Dunica was delighted with his as well.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. That's a good summing up of it. It was a slowly run race, and listen, he'd probably love following an even pace. But like, we were happy, like whatever was going to be, it was going to be, and he always ran by himself. And like, he is a horse, he's a good traveller, he relaxes and does quick and well. So he probably, it's great when horse wins against the odds, if you know what I mean. Like, things didn't really fall from, but still won very nicely. And Dunica, I think, was delighted with his horse as well.
Could he go to Newmarket, Luxembourg, do you think?
It's very possible, Johnny. Mm. The lads will decide in the spring what they want to do, but it's definitely very possible.
And certainly, this is the last question. What does Aidan O'Brien have for breakfast in America?
Oh, what have I had this morning? Yogurt and granola, and now I'm having toast and a few eggs on it, I think so.
No and, bacon. A
cup of coffee. No porridge over here.
You're too good, Aidan. We can't wait for Saturday. Hopefully you'll have one winner, and thanks a million for taking the call.
No, pleasure, Johnny. Thank you. Thanks very much.
And you're welcome to On The Wire. On this week's show, we have Will Riley from Bar One Racing. We have Juki coming in from Portugal. We have Johnny Ward. And we will look back on the amazing performances of Van Bois, Len and Frodon, or certainly Frodon anyway, at Down Royal. And we'll be looking ahead principally to the Breeders' Cup. Good, strong Irish representation, mainly from the Weld, Toomey and Aidan O'Brien yards. And we will also hear from Aidan as well, just giving us a quick synopsis of his runners. But let's first check in with Brendan Duke. Dukey, you are still in Portugal, I believe.
Yes, I'm in the lobby of the hotel, so apologies if there's any background noise. People are not respecting my studio space because it's not a studio. So I'm in Portugal. I'll be getting a flight at 8 p.m. and I'll be back. My feet will touch the El Sod for a day, and then I'm heading over to Liverpool for a stag and Cheltenham for a week. So I'm being missed on Irish race courses, wouldn't you?
I thought you were in particularly perky form today, to be fair.
Well, it's important to take a break, you know. I mean, I don't really work, so I'm not sure what I'm taking a break from. But
I was going to say that
it's important for a man to decompress. I'm very de-stressed over here. Yeah, it's lovely.
And just before you came on, you were talking about your concerns with how the how your 4G would work because you're on the 4G, which reminded me of the old days when the mobile companies used to basically fleece you if you even accidentally turned on your data whilst abroad. But if, like me, you ended up watching a race at Dundalk or something and put it on your data whilst abroad, you're billed £300, the horse gets beaten. They weren't good times, Will Riley.
No, they weren't. Not at all. Thankfully, that's all behind us now. Everything is state of the art.
And much like life, Dukey, last week's naps, rather, the story of what might have been with a succession of seconds and also a fourth, starting with John McDonald, who went with Light Brigade. Esky Lane won that race, obviously. Mark Boylan gave that a very good mention. I went with Clatterbang, which is actually running shortly after we record this. Should have won, really, I suppose. Just didn't, 11-2. Brendan Duke, West Street, stayed on all day, just couldn't get up. It was one of those days, Dukey.
Yes, one of those days. Well, one of those days when you're reminded that jumping is the name of the game, certainly in my case, because West Street clattered a few fences on the way around and that ultimately made the difference. But I should have factored that into my model, right?
You should have. Just before we get to Down Royal, in terms of the Breeders' Cup, how popular is it with Bar One punters, Will? And like, is it one of these nights that as a layer you kind of enjoy because obviously it's a Saturday night, it's kind of festive. A lot of people like to have a beer, have a bet, which often means that they bet too much and they kind of get a bit patriotic and so forth.
That certainly happens. It's become more popular as the years have gone on. And some of the races will actually be shown in the shops on Saturday night. I think the first three or maybe four races can be shown. So that always helps things along as well. And I know what you're going to say, but Dundalk is very popular on a Friday night. So you've got Dundalk and Del Mar going at the same time. You know, racing by the sea, what more could you ask for?
Well, Will Riley's in the halfpenny place because they've done Dundalk Wednesday and Fridays basically for the course of November, which, to be fair, I'm not unhappy about myself. I love Dundalk and I love the band, the buzz of the Friday night. Let's look back though on Down Royal. Juki, this was on Envoy Len last week. The problem with this race is that the horse that ends up finishing second is rated 90, but in terms of putting his career back on track after two obviously disappointments for Henry de Bromhead, this is pretty perfect.
Excellent. This is what we talked about this beforehand. We wanted him to have a confidence boosting, good round to jump and travel great like the monster that he is. He will obviously face stiffer competition as the season goes on. But the important thing was to get this done and dusted, and he couldn't have done it any better. He never missed a beat.
Where does he go next? Or where does he end up at Cheltenham?
Well, that is a very interesting question. So if there's a lot of moving parts here, but if they want to move him around and say he goes and wins the John Durkin, again, a big if, and then they go for the King George because they want to leave Aplutar, defend his Lexus title. Well, if he goes and wins a King George, they're sort of obliged to go for the Gold Cup. I don't actually really think he'd stay at the trip in the Gold Cup. But if that scenario unfolded like that, I think it's very difficult to not run in the Gold Cup with a King George winner first.
And Will, this was an amazing result on so many levels because of the whole Bryony Frost issue at the moment, and in the sense of her case in the UK, and just this performance from Frodon, Will, was just absolutely warmed the heart in a cold late October's day.
Yeah, Frost warming the heart, Johnny. It was
like it.
I mean, they're such a great partnership, aren't they, Frodon and Bryony Frost? And she speaks so well. She speaks so passionately, and that really did get the crowd going at Down Royal. Fantastic stuff.
And I don't know, Juki, it was one of these proper weekends for racing. Racing's had a lot of challenges of late, but Envoy Len's performance, Bryony Frost running on Frodon, it just ticked a lot of boxes, I thought.
Well, that Down Royal meeting is kind of the unofficial start of the Irish National Hunt season. I always think, what a race to kick it off. I mean, the Gold Cup winner was in town. The King George winner was in town. There were four horses in contention turning for home. It was a proper race. He's just such a hard horse to pass. Galvin actually managed to pass him. I was really impressed with Galvin because I've never been convinced about his jump, and he did miss a couple on the first circuit, but he was brilliant on the second circuit. And they've got a bit of a dilemma as well, haven't they? Because they were probably thinking Grand National horse, but he's a runner in the Gold Cup, given his Cheltenham form and how strong a stayer he is.
Yeah, I spoke to Gordon Elliott, and he said this horse has completely been aimed at the National this year. And with the Gold Cup in mind, I'd still back him for the National, despite the fact that his weight might suffer. But I think that will be his plan. But Will, we should touch on Solarina, whose death announcement just preceded the recording of this podcast. And she was sort of racing when I got into racing, obviously after Limestone Lad. And her win record was incredible. She didn't perform as well, maybe at stud, as you'd expect. But it doesn't really work out necessarily in that shape in National Hunt. And she did produce a couple of good horses. But she just brings a smile to your face when you think of her and the Bow family.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they were standing dishes, weren't they, at the Winter Festival at Fairy House, which is coming up this year at the end of the month. So there's added poignancy to that. You just love horses like this. And when it's a mare, it seems to capture the attention even more so, doesn't it? So, yeah, it's sad news, but great memories for the family.
And can I just ask you before we get on to the Breeders' Cup, this is something, now this is the rumour mill, but we can say it because the man is no longer with us, and I think he's still teaching us things from the grave. Does the word Chazamy mean anything to you, Will? This gamble from the show of something like 22s into 11-4 at Dundalk last week, what was this about?
Which horse?
Chazamy, trained by Fozzie Stack, 11-4 favourite, opened up 22-1, lost its action leaving the stalls at Dundalk on the 27th of October. Does it ring a bell?
Do you know, it doesn't actually. That's probably the one meeting I've missed at Dundalk this year because I was away.
Okay, well, I'm absolutely amazed by that. But this horse, Juki, right, was bred by Curly Leisure, right? So it was put to me, not with the degree of suspicion that this might actually have been the case, that Barney somehow, despite the fact that he's passed on, was pulling off a gamble at Dundalk. It didn't come off, but who better than the greater man? 22-1 into 11-4, the man who bred
no.
The
oh, that is absolute scenes. I didn't know, but that's brought a smile. Imagine gambling beyond the grave. That's something we can only aspire to, I think, in life. Well, in death. I don't know. I'm so impressed. I didn't know about that story either. That's incredible scenes.
I don't know if it's true, Will, but I don't really care if it isn't or not. Barney is still with us. His documentary aired on the BBC last night, and 22-11-4 on the show. I know it didn't come off, but that's the way you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's that quote from Hamlet? There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your imagination, Horatio. He's still with us.
Neither a borrow nor a lender be on this show, and a bit of Will Riley thrown into the mix. Let's get to the Breeders' Cup. Dukie, what does this meeting mean to you? I suppose, where will you be actually to watch it for a start?
Well, I'll be in Liverpool, so I don't think I'll be able to watch it because it's a bit unreasonable to say. But the stag is going to Aintree for a day's racing, so that's great. But after that, it's hard to say to the lads, we'd sit down and watch the Breeders' Cup. I think they'll want to go out and chase women and drink excessively or whatever one does on a stag. What it means to me is not much in terms of gambling. I rarely have a bet at the meeting because the form lines are too hard to tie together. But some of my favorite races of all time have been at this meeting. I think of Zenyatta winning, but particularly Zenyatta losing. That was an incredible race. I've never rarely seen anything like that. I think of Arazi. I think of Royal Academy. I think of Easy Goer, Sunday Sun.
Johar, High Chaparral.
Yes. There's too many to mention. So I'll enjoy watching the replays and I might try and orchestrate it somehow that I don't know the results, but whether that's feasible hungover, I don't know.
Okay, let's start in the first relevant races, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Obviously, Charlie Appleby well represented here. Dukie, we have Glaunton, who's gone on to very good things. Rare horse by Kodiak, actually, that Aidan will train. Beat Pennine Hills at Leopardstown last time. Obviously, that was a key form in the sense of Boundless Ocean, who you subsequently tipped. It was a little bit disappointing. Would that put you off Glaunton? How do you think he looks hardy enough to take this in his stride, if nothing else?
Well, he's only had three runs, but he does look a real professional, or he certainly did in Leopardstown. But just concern you, the Leopardstown race, they all finished in a heap, and the Boundless Ocean did slightly let the form down the next day. So I'll watch him with interest. He's a good-looking horse, and with Aidan, you never know. He could take a decent step forward, but he'll have to.
Any thoughts, Will?
I think his draws against him. I was looking at a stat earlier, actually, about Charlie Appleby. Three winners from seven Breeders' Cup runners. So whatever he sends over must have a chance. And Modern Games is definitely well drawn. Well, both of his runners in the race are well drawn. I just don't know how strong that form is. So it's a race that I will swerve in terms of punting anyway.
The next race with the view to Irish interest is the sprint. Just looking back on, I don't know. When an Irish trained horse won this race, actually, if ever. And I'm sure if you're listening or watching, you might know the answer to this. But Golden Pal, who obviously disappointed when coming over as a 5-2 shot at York for Wesley Ward, is likely to be favourite. But Irish hopes rest on A Case of You. Now, since this video, he actually won at Longchamp. But here he is earlier in the season running a blinder at Curragh. And this is in the Derrenstown Flying Five. And what a story, Dukie, were Aidan McGuinness to win at the Breeders' Cup.
Yes, his career just continues to develop at a rapid rate. He's not out of it, this horse. I mean, I do think he's slightly better with cutting
softer
the ground.
Ground.
But he's a ground versatile sort, and if he can cope with the tight turning track, I mean, that's the other thing. He's not used to racing around bends. He's a lot against him, as do all the European horses. But I wouldn't totally dismiss him.
You'll remember Peter the King Kingston being on this show. I remember him tipping this horse up after it won a maiden at Bellewstown and then went up to Down Royal and was sent off 15-2 to win a maiden up there and is now in pursuit of a second Group 1 in succession. And I don't know what a story it would be, to be fair. Will, he does face very stiff home competition here, but it's probably, and I'm speculating here, but it probably does, it's not the strongest renewal maybe of this race.
No, I would go along with that. Golden Pal has been very strong in the betting. I must say that first of all. But what Aidan McGuinness and Stephen Thorne have done in the last, two and a half years has been extraordinary. Their stable is very much on the up. A Group 1 in Paris-Longchamp. Now, A Case of You, of course, is a Dundalk winner. Now, can you name the Dundalk winner that previously won the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint? And it was within the last 5 years. It's probably an unfair question because it won at Dundalk in 2011, but took the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint in 2016. It was trained by Peter Fahey in Ireland.
Obviously.
Very good, wow. Johnny.
Wow.
Very
good. I think I was at Dundalk when that horse won, actually. And when the horse's name made me think of Aidan O'Brien because he's fond of the word. But yeah, there's one for you.
And he was ridden to victory by Joseph O'Brien at Dundalk. So hey, look, there have been a number of horses from that have won at Dundalk and gone on to win at a Breeders' Cup meeting. Hit It A Bomb, who races in the colours of Glaunthorn. So there's more than people might think.
Yeah, Hit It A Bomb, a horse by Warfront, actually, who in fairness tends to do quite well at this. The filly and mare Turf, we're going to look at Love here, Juki. Now, this season just hasn't worked out for her. This is finishing second in the Blandford Stakes. Now, on this occasion, what was she sent? I think she was sent off something like 11 to 10 or something like that. She was well fancied anyway. Unfortunately, just in the, as consistent with Love this season, she found a way to get beaten.
Well, indeed, Johnny, I just don't think, some people say she isn't a filly, she was. I don't actually think she was ever that good. As she was ever made out to be. I mean, I fell into that trap. I was completely seduced by her. But I mean, in the context of this race, that La Petite Coco, she's a very progressive filly. They pulled a long way clear of a Smart Sword in third. And the most significant thing about this race for Love is I cannot find any pace in this race. And okay, this place is basically like Chester. So if you can get out in front, she's drawn six, so she'll have no problem getting across to the rail. If my pace maps work out, which isn't always the case, someone might take the initiative, but she'll certainly sit handy, which will give her a tactical advantage. And her form this season, she's entitled to be there or thereabouts. So I thought she'd a really good chance to win this.
And it's possible, Will, that they've been training her in terms of peaking at this time of the year as well.
That's very possible. There's an old saying, isn't there? Has she trained on? And by that, I mean, she's still very good, but I don't think she's as good at three as she was at two. But that probably means that she's going to make a good broodmare, because sometimes when they lose their interest in racing, they're more receptive when it comes to breeding. You know, the tough old mares who keep going from year to year, not many of them produce really good offspring, do they?
Yeah, and I suppose Solarino was a case in point there, in that she was probably just better at the racetrack. We have the dirt sprint as well, but this brings us on to the Breeders' Cup Mile. Now, this is a fascinating race. Mother Earth, obviously trying to bid to win this for Aidan O'Brien. She was quite unfortunate. She's not had a great kind of had much luck this season, and we're going to look back at her clash with the Paddy Toomey trained, this would be Paddy Toomey's first runner as the Breeders' Cup as well. And I think might be Billy Lee's first ride in the shape of Pearl's Glory. This is them clashing. Now, Duke, this is obviously a very, very controversial race because of the ride that Shane Foley gave the winner, which Aidan O'Brien subsequently slated.
Yes, well, I mean, it was careless riding, but he was never going to lose the race because the horse he interfered with finished third. So it's just one you have to stick it in the too hard tray, unless you want to come down more severely on dangerous riding, which is another conversation and something that should be done, really. But anyway, couldn't lose the race. The Toomey mare ran great, but she's got and backed it up by running really well on Arc Weekend. But she's got a serious job on her hands here dealing with this Space Blues, and she's also got a horrific draw. So she'll do well to hit the board here, I'll say, I wager.
Space Blues obviously readily beat Pearl's Glory at Longchamp, came with a withering late run, Will, and you'd well imagine deserves to be favourite. And as Juki mentioned as well, this is going to be a messy race, drawn three, lots of positives.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think they're going to go hard in this race, and that will probably suit Mother Earth. I'm more hopeful than confident about Mother Earth, but I think she likes to chase a hard pace, and that will suit her. There's just something about her that I think she'll be suited to everything that goes on with a Breeders' Cup meeting. But yeah, Space Blues has got a very good chance. We got him as the 9-4 favourite, and deservedly so, I'd say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just before we get on to the last couple of races, Juki, do we want Bob Baffert to do well at this? Bob Baffert having runners, it's kind of the black mark over the whole thing?
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like Baffert has been scapegoated to a degree because American sports American sports in general are in thrall to the needle. Now I know it gets much more controversial when you're dealing with horses who can't consent to taking drugs. But certainly, like when you see the bans that are handed out in baseball and American football for painkillers and drug abuse, performance enhancing drugs, they don't really care. in America. Just get out, play through the pain barrier, and just win, baby. There's a, that's a famous quote from Al. He used to own the Oakland Raiders. I can't remember his surname, but just win, baby. That's all they care about. But now, of course, things are getting, particularly in California, things are getting much more woke in terms of animal welfare. So they just come upon this high-profile guy who's maybe living in the past. Because these things come at you very fast, Johnny, you know. And I'm not sure that the American racing public are that upset with Bob Baffert. But the American racing administrators have to look like they are. So I have a degree of sympathy for Bob Baffert. But
that's an intriguing view, Juki, because Will Riley, American racing is not in a great state going forward. And I don't know if this is to do with the sort of drug culture over there or not. But you know, American racing made the decision in sort of the 50s or 60s that it wasn't going to follow the television revolution that other sports did, and other sports benefited effectively hugely from that. Racing decided that it would lose crowds if people were able to watch it on the box. It took part in the television revolution belatedly, but the bottom line is American racing day to day is in bits, and people are not really going racing except if it's for a big meet like this at Del Mar. And a lot of, obviously, racetracks have become casinos, and it does have a very uncertain future.
It does, and it's something that they have to address very seriously, and the medication issue comes into that. It's not a very edifying spectacle when you see horses like on, you know, dirt tracks that are, it just doesn't seem as though they're, it seems as though they're, I don't know, they don't seem comfortable when they're running. Mm. You don't see so much of that. You almost look at it and you go, this doesn't look good. It, you know, these horses are being asked to do something with the help of medication. It's not just through persuasion and the sheer spirit of the horse and, you know, a degree of gentleness from on top. But where America does racing well, it does it fantastically well. You know, your Belmont Parks, as you mentioned there, the Breeders' Cup, it's as good as anything that you'll get, and it will be very well policed. But the medication issue, it really does need to be seriously looked at. And it, I mean, they haven't even made a decision yet, have they, about Medina Spirit from the Kentucky Derby? So, there are aspects of it I'm uncomfortable with, but this meeting coming up, I mean, is a great showcase for American racing.
It absolutely is, and I think, in fairness, we all enjoy it. We're going to look back at Tarnawa here. Now, the most recent Tarnawa footage we have is of a race in which tactics went against her. This is obviously that epic renewal that I thought was dissected brilliantly here by John McConnell and Fran Berry of the Irish Champion Stakes. So, Juki, so Tarnawa's going to go into bidding for back-to-back victories in the turf. Now, the problem for her and for Colin Keane, as much as this is a mile and a half, and in theory it shouldn't be a problem, she's only drawn 13 of 14, which is not going to make this easy.
Certainly not on this track. Now, she overcame a brutal trip in this race last year, granted a Keeneland with a longer straight. But I mean, after the race, all I could see on Twitter was, what a ride from Colin Keane. She absolutely dug him out of a massive hole. Now, there wasn't much he could do. She's a hold-up filly. There was no pace, but he had to go and loop around everything else. She's such a withering turn of foot at this trip that it got her out of a hole, it got him out of a hole, and she might be able to pull it off again here. There is some pace on Acclimate, I think is the name of the horse, but most of them are hold-up horses. I can't imagine they're going to go a strong pace there. And again, he's going to have to drop in from the wide draw, loop and swoop on the bottom bend, and hope that she has the gears to pull it off. It's a big ask, but she did manage it last year, so maybe.
Frankie riding Broom as well is fascinating. You know, he's actually a horse that is one of these horses drawn an eight that probably will somewhat get away with it. And you look at Tiona, if Tiona could get into a rhythm as well, she's actually quite likely. She's only a three-year-old. She's only progressed and obviously beat Snowfall last time. But again, she has draw problems, Will. And this is a race where domestic spending, Chad Brown is such a good record at the festival. The Kingman horse, he's obviously been prepped for this. He's also drawn three, which gives him an advantage. And this is one race, I think, where it could be absolute carnage.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be looking at the race wanting Tarnawa to win, but a wide draw on quick ground, it doesn't look promising, does it?
No, it's going to be tricky, and the best luck to Colin Keane. In fairness, he couldn't go there in better form. And that brings us to the classic, in which we have Nick's Go and Essential Quality. But that is pretty much it for us for the Breeders' Cup in terms of our Irish candidates, which means it's time for a nap. And we're going to start with you, Brendan Duke.
Ah, okay. Well, I will nap Space Blues in the Breeders' Cup Mile at 10:20 on Saturday in Del Mar. I mean, what's not to like about this horse? He's basically bulletproof. He's won 7 of his last 9. He goes on any ground, any sort of a pace setup. I think the race is set up perfectly for him. 7 furlongs is his optimum trip, but this place is basically a mile around Chester. So there won't be a bother on him. He'll wing around those bends. He's a very strong traveller. I can't imagine getting into too much trouble. 9-4, it's a short price, I'll grant you, but I wouldn't like to be laying on.
Will Riley.
I think Steve Asmussen's going to have a good meeting. Echo Zulu on the Friday and an each way chance on a 12-1 shot. Clerier on the Saturday. But I'm going to stay with Mother Earth, 10:20 Saturday, the Breeders' Cup Mile. She's tough. She likes to chase a hard pace. And she deserves another big day in the sun.
Yeah, I think she's one of the bets I will have because she's so hardy. As much as, again, she'll be a little bit of a prisoner to look. Once there's any sort of a pace on, she'll rattle home. And as you saw at Leopardstown, just things have kind of knocked on for her this week. I'm going to stay much closer to home with my nap, which is actually running at Thurles. And Eddie Cawley trains this horse, Golden Jewel. And Golden Jewel is running off a very favourable mark. He was actually down to run in a chase about a week or two ago, so that'll have advanced his fitness a little bit more. But he jumps fences very, very well. I think he's only had 5 runs over fences. He's absolutely thrown in. Brian Cooper was booked to ride him the last day when he was scratched. Brian Cooper is booked to ride him again. And if he jumps adequately here in the 12:45 at Thurles, the ground isn't too bad at Thurles, which will suit him down to the ground, excuse the pun. I think he will take an awful lot of beating. Juki, just briefly, how has Portugal gone for you? I know I think you'd only met this lady once before you went over there, but I presume you've met her at least twice at this stage.
Yes, yes, yes. Good sport. Went well. Had a nice time with her and went on some trips, of course, when you go to a foreign city, you have to go on one of these walking tours. And it's some fascinating information that, of course, you won't know because you weren't on this walking tour. Portugal was under fascism for 40 years. No one knows this. It was basically the sick man of Europe for 40 years. No one wanted anything to do with them. But then there was a carnation revolution, they called it. It was a bloodless coup, and they were very sporting to the fascists. They said, look, if you just go off to Brazil, you can take all your money with you, and we don't want a civil war. And the fascists said, grand, we've had a good run, 40 years, in fairness, we've had a good run. So they kicked on to Portugal. But the next day I was sitting down, that revolution happened in 1975. The next day I was sitting out of the rain. That was the only cloud on my horizon. Again, if you pardon the pun, lash rain. Yeah, the weather, there's supposed to be 270 days sunshine here a year. I mean, what are the odds, you know? But anyway, so I'm sitting down in the rain and I see this sort of monument, and it says the 40th anniversary of the 1974 revolution. I only knew this because I'd been on the tour. And I see this guy walking up, and he's dressed all in black. They're not like Johnny Cash, all in black, black suit, black shirt, black tie, black shoes, right? So he walks up. So the monument is kind of it's a pole with a little thing on it, and there's a circle on the bottom with the sort of a frieze, I imagine, of the soldiers of this revolution. So your man walks up anyway, starts wiping his feet on the circular thing. I'm like, yeah, that's really weird. Then he does that for about 10 seconds, then spits on the yoke and just walks off down the road.
Was he a fascist fan?
I assume he's a fascist fan. I assume so. I'm just watching this going, well, you don't see this every day, do you? Of course, I haven't lived under fascism for 40 years, so I suppose, and he was an old guy. But he was dressed the part, and I mean, imagine spitting on it, the symbolism of it all, huh?
Well, we've all lived under the tyranny of having to punt at Dundalk on a Friday night and in November on a Wednesday night. But he makes a good point there, and I wasn't aware of this, Will, because a lot of these revolutions are very bloody because the lads who are leaving are absolutely petrified as to the repercussions of what will happen to them because they were in on it in the old regime. And if the new lads come in and say, listen, if you just emigrate, it's grand. Just lay down your arms, get out of here, everything will be grand. Not sure what the relevance that is to Dundalk, but you will be there over the next few weeks.
I will. I'll be up there next Friday. There's a topical tip based on what Dukey's just said there. Dark Note could win at Dundalk tomorrow for Joseph O'Brien. Looks good in the maiden. And Dukey, do you fancy anything for the Grand Sefton at Aintree?
I only had a very big, very quick look, Will. There's a horse called there's a horse called Man of the Mountain or something of Emma Lavelle's. He's a wicked jumper, regulation fences. So if he can take that to the big fences, I might have a bet on him. But I, of course, I'm an Irish racing guru. But there is a horse. Johnny will know his name. Norman Lee trains him. He's in a race at Aintree over 2.5. He's a good horse. He got messed around at the start in the Galway Hurdle. He's supposed to be the pace of the Galway Hurdle. Do you know the horse I'm talking about?
Anyway. He was fourth the Galway Hurdle last year. You'll know the horse. Look him up anyway.
Yeah, well, West Strait might run in the Brett Sefton. It's entered anyway. There's another Irish entry. And Gary Moore, who's in absolutely flying form. He's got Atwell Phil now in the race, rated 136. So you never know.
Right, well, this Lee horse is 14-1. Now, he's also entered in Wincanton over 2 miles. So maybe that's why he's 14-1. But I imagine he's more a Sole Pretender. Isn't that his name, Johnny?
Sole Pretender, won the Grimes Hurdle this year.
Yeah, so he's more of a two.
Wincanton. Love Wincanton. That's proper racing people down there. Lovely track.
Well, indeed. But it's a very tight track and less than 2 miles pillar to post. So I don't think that would suit Sole Pretender. But if he was to go in Aintree on Saturday and be the colour of 14-1, I think he'd be worth a wager.
Yeah, you. If you tune into On The Wire, you get all sorts. You get Will's love of Dundalk and Wincanton, Dukey's, I don't know, finding out about Portuguese fascism, which I have to say I wasn't aware of myself, and I know my fascism, and wasn't aware of that. And you obviously get insights into the Breeders' Cup. Lads, have a brilliant weekend, a brilliant end to the week.
Thanks a million.
Hey, Johnny. Sorry, I'll just unmute myself there. Yeah.
Thanks, Juki and Will, for coming on. Have a great time in the Breeders' Cup. Catch up on the channel. It's going to be great fun. Hopefully, we'll have an Irish winner and we'll be back next week.
This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.